All right, take your Bibles this morning, go to Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12 in the New Testament. I need Brother Richard and Brother Jeremiah Morgan up in the balcony. There was three teenagers over here that have made their way into the auditorium, and they need to get back where they're supposed to be. You guys have been doing good. You've not been a problem. Just go with these men and make sure you head to the teen service where you guys are supposed to be, okay? All right, we appreciate you doing that, all right? Hebrews chapter number 12. And if you thought I was unkind, wait till my preacher gets back. Amen. All right. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And kind of a back to school focus. And we've talked about back to school Sunday. It's kind of what our ministry and our minds are tracking on. It's what's around the corner for most of your children. And even if you're not, your children aren't going to the day school, maybe they're homeschooled. Or going to some other parochial school around here, or public school. Hopefully, they're going to be starting in some soon here in the next few days. And so I want to kind of be able to just open the Word of God and doesn't actually speak about schools or learning, but speaks to the heart of every Christian here. But as we get back, even in Sunday school, we mentioned something our auditorium class could do for our church could do is pray, and we kind of took time to do that. But I want to kind of get a little bit deeper into it, and hopefully I'll be able to finish all this morning. But I want to preach on the subject of back-to-school focus. So many times in our lives, what happens in our just everything we do, we become busy. It's a busy world, and it's a dog-eat-dog world out there is what people call it. And we're just so busy, and sometimes we lose focus on the things that, I mean, even in our busyness, we're doing good things, but we're not doing the best things. We lose focus of the things and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that our lives and everything else we do should be focused upon. Amen. Let's pray this morning and we'll dive into the scriptures this morning. Dear Jesus, I do love you this morning, God, and I need you more than ever. God, I pray this morning that you'd be with those three men that left the auditorium, that the message that was prepared would be just for them. God, I pray now that you'd use me for the message that you prepared in my heart and gave me from your word. God, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would take control, that you would preach this message from your word, that you'd just use me as your messenger boy to deliver the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray for my preacher. I pray even now as he preaches that you'd give him power from on high. God, I ask that for myself again and help us, God. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, you would do what I cannot do and that you would go into the hearts of the hearers and that you would not only have already prepared it, but that you would use your word to help us, God, to not leave this place the way we came, but to leave it closer to you. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And Hebrews chapter 12, a very familiar passage of scripture. If I could say anything about my days in school, I would call it old school. It's way back in the day. And some of you would even go farther back in the day than me. And I would just say, you know, a lot of times when we think about school, school is supposed to be something that's, you know, it should not be, it's not fun. Amen. None of us went there to have fun. I mean, we had fun when we went, and I remember the times that I learned brand new things. I remember having fun when the teacher made it fun and made some of the things be, you know, I mean, just made it a game, and I didn't even realize I was learning, but they were making it fun. And I was like, and then I realized they were perpetrating because there was a test to follow. That's when it wasn't fun. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, there was like all this fun in it. And then all of a sudden, what? We're going to be tested on this, you know? And so, again, no matter how or how you look back at school with fond memories of A's and B's, or if you may be like some others of us that I'm thankful I got a C in that class or whatever it was and you just made it through, there are fond memories to be looked back on upon school. But even with that, there was focus. If I was going to do anything when I was in school, between Bible college or any type of school that I was a part of, there had to be a focus on the main subject. Can I just say, as a Christian day school, as our ministry that we have out of our church, you know, our mission is not to be this separate entity, but even in our mission statement, it is to assist the Christian home in making available to a young person academic help, but more than that, spiritual help. And so as a ministry, as a church, and we've talked about already in Sunday school that we're heading into our 49th year, there are some key components when we focus. When I try to focus, can I say as a church, when we focus or we want to get our focus back on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the Lord's Supper. And it's a time of remembrance. It's a time that we focus everything that we are on the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us as our Savior. We focus in on him. We focus in on what he did. We focus in on how our relationship is between him and us. And we want to make sure that's right. The church always gives us an opportunity to make that right. Even if our relationship, and you know, even in that, sometimes we focus on making our relationship right with somebody else before we get started. Amen. That's good preaching, Brother Parsons. That's something. So as a ministry, as a school, or as a family, boiling it all the way down, and I'll just say this in the last few days, I really do believe this, that this is, again, in Ephesians chapter 3 is the only place you're going to find in the New Testament as the church being called the family of God there in the New Testament age. But I really believe if the church functions the way it's supposed to be as brothers and sisters in Christ, it should feel like you're coming to see family on Sunday. It should feel like, you know, these are people that pull for me. These are people that got my back. These are people that pray for me. These are people that love me. This is a place that I can come to. And again, I have family and you have family, but I can say this throughout these years, the people that have helped me grow most towards the Lord has not only been my family, they've invested, but it's been my church family that always reassured those things, always needed that outside influence on my family to help me grow and to walk and to see somebody outside of my immediate group walking with God, loving the Lord, doing right. It isn't just my little pod, my little family. It's all these other people walking with God and living for him daily. The book of Hebrews is just a great book of betters. I love the book. It's not my favorite book in the New Testament, but I mean, it's like right up there, one or two or three, somewhere up in there. Amen. And I love the writer of the book, and I love how he just talks about Jesus being better. He's writing the book itself to the Jewish people, trying to show them how Jesus is better than all the Old Testament things and rituals and all the stuff in the past. He's just saying he's better. He gets off on a tangent about how Jesus is better than Moses and better than all these things. And so even in the book, we've come through all these betters till we get to a place where he talks about this better rest or this group of people here in this area. As he builds to that, that there's this, we call it the kind of like the hall of faith or the, I mean, this chapter of faith, and he talks about all these people who had died in faith. And when he finishes talking about that, and my favorite part, I don't have time to preach on chapter 11 and get to where I want to be, and so I'm trying to get where we're going, but I want to say there's all these great names that we can identify in Scripture, but then the book, the chapter itself, closes with others who this world was not worthy of. Can I just say this? There are a number of people who we don't have recorded in Scripture from that time period on out that live for the Lord Jesus Christ, and the only notation of them living for God and serving him and being what they ought to be all through every day of their lives and keeping their focus on the Lord Jesus Christ is other or others. You say, Brother Parsons, does that matter? It matters to me, folks, because listen, there's a bunch of people. I cannot be Abraham. My name is Barry. Amen. And I'm not ever going to be an Abraham. And I'm not, I can't, that there was God used him in his way, in his time, and in his work in that time period. But now we are in, 2020. We're in a day where the world runs to and fro as fast as it can. It's moving all around us and busy. And if we're not careful, the busyness of this world will overcome our family, our church family and our work here, and we'll be busy, but never keeping our eyes on the Lord, never remembering what he did for us, never following. And can I just say this? And I'm not getting after you this morning about being it, but just showing up in church is not, it's a remembrance, but it's not that always. Listen, if once a week is all I showed, can you imagine being in school? You understand? And just going one day a week? Just showing up once, how long would it take you to get through 12 years of school and to get everything that they pump into kids 5 days a week for 8 hours a day and trying to give all these things? And for us, I don't want to be, if I'm going to make it in the hall of faith or I'm going to do something, I'm going to have my focus on a back to school kind of mindset with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to have to do more than just, listen, showing up in churches, that's good. But, you know, what about the rest of the week? I want to be talking about my Savior. At my workplace, I want to be talking about my Savior. Listen, I know many of you. I remember, back before I got in the ministry, I was in an excavator, and I was doing everything I could to listen to preaching when I was by myself, and I had a minute to just sit and dig. And I mean, you know, diesel therapy going on, and just swinging dirt. I would sit there and hear about the goodness of God and the glory of God, because I needed it more than just one day a week. I needed it all the time, and I needed to be reminded of what God has done for me and what He wants me to do in this life. Here in Hebrews chapter 12, he comes from this great chapter of faith, and he says, man, all these people lived for God. They all did everything they could. They spent their life in the work of God and were real Christians day in and day out, and they kept their faith and they kept their focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, even unto death. And then we come to this place on chapter 12, and he says, wherefore? It means he said, hey, because of chapter 11, because of all these folks that have come before. Even here, if we wanted to write a chapter 11 of Landmark Baptist Church, of our family, we've got people and rows and scores of people that we could list. And you can go down to the tower, and there are lists of people who gave and sacrificed and did things on those plaques when we redid the tower. And if we were to have some in the church, there would be names upon names upon names of people that this place and this family would not exist anymore if it wasn't for their sacrifice, for their faithful giving and going and continuing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I just say, wherefore? When I come to this place in Scripture, I don't just think about all those that have came that we have listed, but I think of others that have given for the cause of Christ. I think of others that I got to see face to face. I never saw Abraham face to face. I never got to see Jacob and Isaac and all the ones that are in the Scripture, and I feel like I know them because of the Scripture, but there are others that have meant so much to me on this side of heaven who I know and I saw that gave so that I could be a part of God's work, so that they sacrificed so that I could see that God was real. I saw them do things and go farther than people ought to go normally, but because of the love of God shed abroad in their heart, they gave beyond their own means so that I and you and others down the road could still be faithful, could still have the Word of God, could still be what we need to be. And with a back-to-school focus, think about it, folks. Do you know that the earliest schools that were landed in our country were not public schools? Do you know that the public school movement didn't even crop up until the 1930s? Every institution that trained young people, always predating those time periods, always had a focus. Yes, some of them on some type of form of academics, but it was for religious studies. The very first college that everyone touts as this great college, Harvard Institution, do you know that they weren't always the Harvard of today? It probably was a place that you wouldn't mind going and hearing about God's goodness in His Word. They were started to train preachers. The very first school on our shores was training Latin to teach young men for leadership in government and in other things like the presbytery or preachers. Can I just say it today? So many times we think that things that are all around us have always been, and that's not how it worked, folks. This country was founded as a Christian nation with a mindset that trained its youth to be moral and to be loving of a holy God. And the very first book that our very Congress imported into the country was the King James Bible. And the reason was to train young people in the day schools to read and to write and to use the book. We lose our history, folks, and we don't, listen, that's our history. That's not made up history. They'd like to think so, but that's our history as a nation. And as we go back to school, if we don't keep a focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll lose a lot of these things. Those things matter most to us because the world and the liberals and other people out there, they want that history to fade away because they don't want any of it. They like every other monument that just doesn't fit their fancy this week. They want to tear it down and burn it and forget about it so that it's no longer around for good people to go back and realize their own history. And there was a time when God's people rose up and built schools and built hospitals and built things for the cause of Christ with Him as their focus to help other people come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a day where people forget their history, but we need desperately, even this morning, to remember some things. In verse 1 of chapter 12, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradictions of sinners against Himself, lest ye being wearied and faint in your minds." With a back-to-school focus, why is it important? I'm going to do the message in reverse. Can I give you the final point and then go back and preach it all? Or will that mess all of you up? Can I just say this morning, most people that quit in their mind first. They get fearful and unbelieving. You know, that's like a track of a group of people that are headed to a place called hell. Fearful and unbelieving. And we live in a day, if a believer's not focused in remembering what Jesus did for them, we can get really fearful. And we can live in a action, in a way, that we don't act like we're believing. In this day and age that we live in, The things that happens to people is we just get wearied and faint in our mind. Long before people quit on God and quit on church and fall out or move on from a place, a good, godly place like this, a family like this, before they ever head out the door, they've wearied themselves in their mind. They've quit in their mind. They've come to a place in their heart and their mind, and they don't remember all the people that came before and sacrificed for a place like this, starting with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I just say, it's not in my message, but I think the Holy Spirit led me there. Do you know who started the local church? The Lord Jesus Christ in His earthly ministry. Can I just say, He thought that it was so important for you that He started a local church and gave them, every ordinance that we practice today, gave them everything they needed to succeed, and then died and purchased for that church or those group of people and everyone that would believe in the future so that they could be a part of His local assembly that we call the church. Because He knew that we would need to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We can so easily click on the TV and get so far away from what's being preached and what is preached in this place very quickly with the boob tube or whatever you all want to call it, the flat screen or whatever you want to call it today. So quickly will take us away from a mindset that's biblical or scriptural and get a mindset that's worldly and it's fearful, not faithful to the work of God. So quickly, so we need so much the more. We need to be together. We need to hear the preaching of God. Thank God for a radio station that 9 o'clock, man, if you're feeling a little weary, you're feeling a little down, you can sit aside or put the kids to bed and back to school, focus on Jesus and listen to the Landmark Hour and hear our preacher again preaching a message that he preached, but it's just as true as it always was. And you can sit down and get charged up for the very next day and hear from God again. Hey, thank God for those things. Thank God for what God has done in our midst. But hey, I don't want to just work off all the things that God's done. I want to go forward. I want to go forward in faith. I want to remember the past. But I want this year to be the best year that the day school's ever had. I want this to be the best year the church has ever had. I want this to be the greatest year of my Christian life that I've ever had for the Lord Jesus Christ, because I focused on Him. You know, he gives us a great recipe of how to have the best year that you've ever had. I mean, it's very easy. It's not hard. Well, it is hard when to actually put it into practice. You know what I'm saying? He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let me say, number one, if we're going to run the race, the best race we've ever run, you understand what that is? I mean, this whole idea, this focus is running. Now, I am not a runner. You can clearly see that. Okay? I've never enjoyed it. But I do like to race in a car. If you pull up beside me, I'll vroom, vroom. And it may go vroom, vroom. It may not even be that, but I'll still rev it up. And I want to go, you know? I got that in me. But you know, here the scripture, Paul is writing about someone who would run. And people run in this day. I don't understand runners. And I know some people love to run and they love to get out. And they say that it just, I mean, it does something for them that it doesn't do for me. But it's something that they love to do. And they like to get out on the road and they like that feeling that they get while they're running. And they love, and some of them even will give of themselves and go run a marathon. And they'll do it for different causes. Listen, in this life, for the Christian, we are called to a marathon that is run, and it's each one of us. We don't race against the world or each other. We are all given our own race to run for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have our own talents and gifts. We have our own calling of God. We have our own family to run for, and God has called us to run. But how am I going to run if I'm weighed down with all the baggage of this world? The scripture talks about not only sin. He doesn't get to sin first. You know, the hard things for us to deal with is the besetting sins. Don't kid yourself, folks. And you're not in a Catholic church, and I'm not going to confess. So I just want you, don't worry, all right? So I'm not going to have a confessional time, but I'm going to tell you that everybody seated in this place has got something that, just like you got a talent, you have a sin that is after you all the time. It is your besetting sin. According to the scripture, everybody in the building is a sinner saved by grace if you're saved. Amen? And there's a sin that if you're not careful and you don't guard against, it'll get you every time. And if I'm going to run, boy, I'm going to tell you, you know, if I could say, if I was a runner and we could make this sin or something along the road that would be something that would make me trip up, it'd be a snake. I don't like snakes, okay? If there was a snake in the road where I had to run, I might trip myself up. He may not even be a poisonous snake, but he'd make me hurt myself trying to run away from him. All right, there's two kinds of good snakes, a dead snake, all right, and a dead snake. All right, so... But I would run in the opposite direction. He made me, I wouldn't run my race the way I'm supposed to. I'd run it in the opposite direction if he was chasing me. But in this life, every one of us, if we could take and boil it down to sin, every one of us has something that trips us up, gets us. It's a hurdle that we just can't seem to get over in this life. And God wants us to give those things to him. He wants us to go to him. We can't do it on our own, folks. We've got to take and give it to God and make ourselves accountable to other folks that love us and can help us if we're going to get over those. But he doesn't just address those. And I think more than ever, we live in a day and age where he talks about the way that so easily, but not just the sin, but the weights. He says here, he says what? Let us lay aside every weight. You know, a runner, even in today, they strap weights onto their ankles because they're trying to build up strength and they're trying to help themselves as they go, or they have these things that they do to build up, but they don't run the race with those weights. They take those weights off. They realize, I can't run as fast. I built some muscle up, but I'm not going to carry these weights all the way through. And in the Christian life, can I just say, there are a lot of things out there that are not sin, but they weigh your family down. They weigh you down. They keep you from church. They keep you out of good activities that the church has. They keep you out of places that you should go, that God could bless you in, but you're weighted down with those things. And I'm not going to go naming off a bunch of things today, but every one of us, the Holy Spirit of God, if you're saved and you know God as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God just pinpointed one of them for you. God just put his finger on one, something that just, I mean, it takes your time. Maybe when God says, I want you to read his word. I want you to read my word. there's something else that's more important. Well, I ain't got to my Facebook page today. Oh, I told you I wouldn't go get after that stuff. Hey, can I just say, there are things that are not evil, but they steal our time. They steal things away from God. When we could give it to God, we could have more time. Or we could, in a sense, can I say it like this? We could run faster for the Lord Jesus Christ if we just cut those weights loose in our lives. And I'll even just say this. For those of you, I'm a man with young family, and there are other young families and parents here. Can I just say there are some weights that you need to cut loose for your own children's sake. They're not a weight for you. You don't feel, but they're something that your kids are going to see, and it'll weigh them down, and it'll hurt them in the long run. And for your kids' sake, for your family's sake, you ought to turn loose of those weights so that your family can run the way it ought to. He says, remember, he says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about. So because the stadium is full, the stadium in heaven, if I could say it like that, looking on and watching the race down here, they've already completed their race. They've already run their time. They've already run their one off for the Lord, and all they can do now is watch as we run on. Some of them, I got to go up and fly up to Maryland, and I was gone last Sunday, and I got to go to an ordination of a young man that I've known, that in my early service to God at our ministry, one of the first jobs my preacher gave me to do was a bus ministry, and I started driving around and picking up kids. And that little boy that got ordained is a great big man that graduated our college right down here. I can remember as a young man in my 20s pulling up to his house and opening the door and picking that little boy up on my bus and watching him getting on. And I had no idea that God was going to call him into the ministry. I had no idea that God would use me to be his youth pastor. I had no idea that he'd come to our college and that he'd graduate and that God would send him to a foreign country called Suriname and that he would spend the rest of his days there. I had no idea that that was going to happen. I had no idea that he would ask me to be a part of his ordination. But can I tell you, I was thinking about those great cloud of witnesses, because there's a lot for me, and I don't even know all the people. I couldn't even name them all for you today that have invested in me. And I don't know that you could all say everybody that you know that had something to do with your salvation or something to do with your service to God and have a part of your life. But all of those people are looking on from heaven. And just like I did, I was excited. I was elated to have a part of his ordination and to put my hands on him and ask God to give him every dollar that he would ever need, to give him every blessing that he'll ever need to keep him, to bless his family and to make him watch over it. Can I just tell you that there's a group of people that watch from heaven that have invested in all of us and in our children that are watching on from heaven, and they're cheering us on. Go, run, do, be, stay the course. They're cheering us on, and they want for us. And some of them, just like I would, I go to a basketball game, and my son will play, and I'm screaming from the sideline things he ought to do when he should be listening to the coach. Amen? Shoot the ball! And I know I have no idea the play that he's running he's supposed to pass, but I'm screaming at him to shoot. Don't hold it. Shoot it. Don't pass it. They never give it back to you. Shoot the ball. You know, you've been a parent. And so just like that, they're in heaven. They don't know the orders we've been given all the time from heaven, but they're still cheering us on. Run, go, shoot, race. And if we're not careful, we won't listen to the one person that we ought to be listening to. You know, this thing boils all the way down that we get wearied and faint in our mind because we don't keep our focus on the Lord Jesus. The whole thing boils down to this. He talks about the sin. Sometimes those things will distract us. The weights, the sin, they'll get in our way. They'll weigh us down. They'll take us. They'll weary us in our mind because we're weighed down with all these things that we shouldn't be carrying. And it starts to weary us and it tires us out. And we feel like, man, is it even worth it to serve God? Is it even worth it to keep going to church? Is it even worth it to keep putting my kids in Christian school? Is it even worth it to keep serving God? When if we just dump the sin and the weights that God doesn't want us to be carrying, man, he says, take my yoke upon you. He says his weight is so easy. His way is so good. It's so light. I'm just telling you today, if you would just yoke up with the Lord Jesus Christ and pour off the world, all the weights at the world, you remember what it was like to be saved? I just heard a great testimony and said it's so quintessential. It was Mark's wife at that ordination. She said, when I got saved, it was like somebody. She goes, I know you've all heard it before, but it was like somebody took a weight off of me. You remember what salvation was like? Well, how about in our race, getting right with God, going back to him and just going to ground like we used to, getting back old school with God and just say, God, take these things from me. Take these weights. Show me. You know, even some of us, I believe this today. There are some of you here, you'd love to live that way, but you don't know. You don't know what weights you're carrying. You know, you have a good enough God and Savior Almighty that if you say, God, would you clearly reveal to me these extra weights that I'm carrying? Would you show them to me? If you would be willing to dump them off, he'd sure be willing to show them to you. He'd sure be willing to open your eyes up to just what he wants you to dump off. He goes on and he says, looking unto Jesus. Where's my focus supposed to be? To the author and finisher of our faith. You know, this race that we're a part of, it's a relay race. I didn't start it, and I ain't going to finish it. But I sure want to run my leg by faith and as hard as I can go, full out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because one day, one lap will be the last lap. And it may not be me. There were others that ran that went before me that thought they were on the last lap. And they carried the baton, looking and coming around the last corner, keeping their eyes on Jesus, knowing that he was the finish line. And folks, can I just say, for the Christian, Jesus is the finish line, whether he comes back and takes us or whether we see him face to face on the other side of glory. Jesus is the finish line for everybody's race that's saved and on their way to heaven. Every lap we make, we may be coming on our final lap and feeling like I've done so much. I've heard men and even good people that I love talk about used to do, things I used to do. And I know that sometimes you can't do what you used to do, but there are so many things that God still has for you. If you'll just love him and ask him and say, God, listen, I can't do what I used to do, but God, what do you got for me today? Go to the preacher. My preacher is especially one of them. If you ask him what you specifically could pray for, he'll tell you exactly what he wants you to pray for. I had one of the strangest encounters with a man that works. I mean, he's strange anyway, but one of the college ladies that were coming to the college, young man sitting across from me, I'll be kind to him, and said, what can I pray about that God could do in your life? What could I pray about at the college that really is needed? And I said, man, we need a maintenance man. I mean, we need one bad. You know what blesses my heart? You know what you got to be careful for? He prayed that prayer, and then God said, it's you. Amen? Amen? You got to be careful with them. And he's here with us. I mean, he's in this place, and I thank God for him. Can I just say today that God wants to help us, and he'll answer your prayer if you simply ask him. And don't ask the preacher unless you really want to pray. And don't pray it unless you're willing to be that person sometimes to take care of those things. I'll just say this today. We serve such a great God, and he's worth keeping both eyes on the whole time we run. We're so guilty as a people of taking our eyes off Jesus Christ. As we get back to a school and we have this full focus, can I say, he says in the next verse, consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. When you're looking, and I'll be honest with you, there are days and times that I'm sure, just like me, I just can't picture the finish line. I just can't picture him. I can't see him like I always. And then I start to consider. You know what helps me? Can I tell you, in the morning when I love to turn on the radio station and it starts, there's songs about what Jesus died on the cross and did for me and the blood that was shed abroad for my sin and for your sin. And I'm telling you, buddy, if I didn't feel saved when I woke up, and I don't know if there is such a thing, but I'm just going to say it like this. When I wake up in the morning, when I'm not excited or I'm not what I ought to be, and I'm trying to look and see who Jesus is and where he is and be able to get out and walk out the door and run like I want to for Jesus, I turn the radio on and I hear about how he saved. I mean, just he can save me. That he died. I mean, listen, you realize that he came to earth, a perfect Savior, left heaven, came to earth, endured all the things that, I mean, Can you imagine an all-knowing God have to sit in school and listen to a teacher try to teach him everything he already knew and be respectful? Can you imagine him growing up in a home of non-perfect parents, but being perfect himself? Can you imagine all those things? And you don't think that's that suffering, but some of that was probably suffering. And then dealing with other people that, I mean, knowing what he was going to do, seeing people that were sinning all around him, but still being pure himself and knowing that he was going to have to pay for that sin and that sin. And he was going to have to go to the cross for the lie that his brother told. And all those things going on around him in his life. Consider what he went through in this life and then still lived a perfect life and went to Calvary and paid for my sin and for your sin and died on a cruel, rugged cross, then was buried. But friend, listen, unlike any other religion on planet Earth, then he got up 3 days later under his own power. That same Jesus is alive today, sitting at the throne of God on the right hand, waiting for his people to call on him for help with weights. He's waiting for his people to call on him to help them with their besetting sin, looking for his people to bring their family together in a family altar as they get ready to go back to school and say, man, we're going to pray together. We're going to read the book together. We're going to be close together. We're going to go to school, and we're going to do it to the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for you that maybe have wandered into this place this morning and do not know him as Savior, even today he waits for you to call out to him and say, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Will you save me? And can I just tell you this? He went to Calvary, not just for me and not for all of the other people that frequent this building week after week after week, but he went to Calvary for you and paid your sin debt just like he did me. And if you would simply bow your head and your heart and trust him as your only, as the only begotten Son of God who died on Calvary and paid for your sin, he'd save you too. And he'd do it this morning if you'd come and walk down and ask him to do it. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, well, we've talked about focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you do that with me right now? If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you don't know for sure that if you died right now that you'd be 100% sure of heaven. Well, all that we did this morning was to help some of the Christians, but we also want to make sure that you don't leave this building until you're 100% sure of heaven. If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, would you slip your hand up and say, with nobody looking around but me and the Lord, you'd slip your hand up and say, Brother Parsons, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? I need to be saved. I'm not saved. Is there a hand anywhere? Is there one anywhere in the building? All right. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, Brother Parsons, just between Sunday school and the message this morning, well, I want to keep my focus where it ought to be. Pray that God would help me keep my focus this school year on him. Would you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you this morning. I appreciate that. Many hands all over the building. Listen, if you're able and you want to frequent the altar, we'd encourage you to do so. Pray and talk to God about helping you with that. Maybe you can't make it to the altar, but you'd pray right where you sit. But I'm going to pray. Would you stand with me now as we pray and we begin our invitation? If you're not sure of heaven, when I finish praying and the music starts, you're welcome to step out and come to the front. There's folks all over down here in the front that can take a Bible and show you how to be saved, or I'll be right down here in the front to meet you. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I thank you for these. If there is one, I did not see a hand, but God, if there's one that doesn't know for sure that they're saved, they don't know they're on their way to heaven, would you help them to have the bravery to step out in a building with so many people that love them and want them to be saved, want them to know that? Would you help them to be brave enough to step out, to take someone's hand and say, I need to be saved? God, there's so many others that even today, they want to be a prayer warrior for you. God, they want to put their focus back on you this year and have the best year that we've ever had. God, help them now. Whatever their need is, whether they need to get rid of weights or sin, or God, they just need to put their focus right where it is. God, help us not to weary and faint in our minds, but help us to focus on you. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that
with their heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning. I'll make one more plea this morning. I know that there are folks visiting with us, and I believe that many of you may be saved. But I don't want to take for granted what God's called me to do, and that's to tell people about Jesus. Make sure that they're on their way to heaven. If you're in the building today or even watching online and you are not sure of heaven, you're not sure that Jesus, you've not put your trust and faith in Him for everything, well, today we're going to have one more call of invitation. And I pray that you'd step out, make your way to the front, take my hand, and let me direct you to one of these folks that can take a Bible and show you how to be saved. It'd be the greatest day of your life, I promise you. I know it's scary to step out, and it's hard to step out, but once you take that first step of faith, well, what a wonderful life it'll be. And those of you that are watching at home, right where you are, or call this local church, and we'll help you take the Bible and just bow your head and ask Jesus to be your Savior. We'll sing one more hymn for the bird.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Amen. Thank you so much. I want to thank everybody for being here this morning, and many of you visiting with us for the very first time. Let me please ask forgiveness for my pastor not being here, and the greatest preacher on planet Earth will be back here next Sunday, Lord willing, and you won't have to hear from me again, but you get to hear from him, and we just love him so much. And so pray for him, for Traveling Mercies here in the first few days of this week, and thank you for coming, and we hope you'll come back. If you have any questions about anything, I'm going to be back here at this back door for as long as I can stay before the bus will leave me, and then we'll be, you know, gone again. But again, be back tonight. We have church. We're an old-fashioned church. 7 o'clock tonight, all right, unless you're in the choir. And then what time is it, Brother Burke?
5:45.
And if you'd like to join the choir, what time is it?
5:45.
5:45, okay, and so... All right, just repetitive. That's what something we learned this week. You just repeat things. What time is it again?
5:45.
Okay, 5:45. So, again, if you want to be a part of the choir, we'd love for you to be a part. But also, again, pray for our day school as we start, and for these brand-new teachers and ones that are, again, going to get in the trenches with our young people. Amen. Brother Congdon, would you come and lead us in prayer?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this time to be in your house this morning. Father, we thank you for visitors that have come our way and first-time visitors this morning. We thank you for them coming this morning. We thank you for the message, Lord, the truth of the message. And, Lord, thank you for being encouraged. And, Lord, just help us to stay focused and keep our eyes on the one that's worthy to be looked at and followed. And, Lord, we thank you for salvation, and Lord, we pray for those that might still be pondering that thought this morning, that you'll continue to work in their heart. Again, dismiss us with your blessings now. Keep us safe this afternoon. Look forward to being back tonight. And we'll thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen.